One of the great moments I've ever had in this country, years ago, I did a documentary where I took the then conservative minister of the environment, Jim Prentice, who then went on to become the premier of Alberta and then tragically was killed in BC in that terrible plane accident. But remember, Harper government was very much polarizing. And I said, would you like to go out to Guayanas National Park? And the conservatives actually created the first kind of both aquatic national park and land national park in Haida Gwaii, which was used to be called the Queen Charlotte Islands. And you'd have to go and spend camping 4 days with David Suzuki and a great Haida leader that they both know, a guy named Gu Zhao. They both trusted him. So they agreed. First, they said no. And so then I documented it, and I was with them because I was doing the story on them. And it was Jim Prentice, David Suzuki, and Gu Zhao. And David Suzuki, who lives there with the Haida often, because one of his kids is married to a Haida, took us through one of the most beautiful places. It's known as the Canadian Galapagos Islands. And if you ever get a chance to go to Haida Gwaii, and as we were walking through, we could see snails and clams and mussels and some of the most beautiful sea life I've ever seen in my life. And it changed my view of our country and in the ocean. And when you're with someone like David Suzuki and talking about it, Jim Prentice, the conservative minister, was blown away as well. And you realize how rich the waters around this beautiful country are with sea life that many communities depend on. And then in this recent heat wave, to our horror, they say a billion or more animals, the very animals that we saw there all around the West Coast, have died because of the heat. This is one of the things that is not getting nearly enough attention. And we've invited Fiona Beattie, who's a PhD candidate at the University of British Columbia's Department of Zoology, who's been studying this along with a great team of marine biologists, who this is almost an extinction level event that's happening here. And it is, we got to understand this. Fiona, I really appreciate you joining us on the program today. The heat wave that we've seen causing more than 300 fires, burning the town of Lytton, we've covered that extensively. But no one knows how the heat has literally cooked billions of creatures. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you very much for being here. So as you mentioned, the heat dome that affected the Pacific Northwest about a week and a half ago had some severely intensive effects on the creatures that live along our rocky shorelines. And one of the reasons why that is because that heat wave overlapped with some of the lowest tides that we experience each year, which meant that these animals, which can't move, you know, they're sort of like cemented in place, were exposed to the high temperatures for a lot longer than they otherwise would be. And these temperatures were way beyond what they can persist in and survive in. And so they cooked to death creatures like mussels, barnacles, sea anemones, all of the ones that stay in one place were super vulnerable.
They really literally cooked to death?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so animals that live in the intertidal are used to experiencing quite intensive hot temperatures during the summer. So mussels, for example, can persist up to around 37 degrees. But we measured 50 degrees in the intertidal. We have this camera that can capture the temperature of the images that it takes. And yeah, we saw up to 50 degrees, which is way beyond what they can tolerate. And so they cook to death. If you go to the beach and you see any mussel shells that are open, that means they died. So, you know, when the heat wave was happening, that was actually the weekend of my sister's wedding. She got married right next to the beach. And the day after the wedding, we were cleaning up and we started to notice that smell. My brother-in-law was like, see, what's going on? It smells like death. And instantly I thought about the intertidal creatures. So the next day, the folks from my lab and myself, we went out to the beaches and we started to really see what's going on. And we were just blown away. So we decided to start measuring them. And a couple of days ago when I was out at the beach counting, you know, how many mussels survived and how many died, the beach was crunchy because of all of the shells that have been detached from the rocks and are just sort of along the beaches here. It's really staggering.
It's staggering. And you're saying it literally just smells putrid. It smells, as you said, like death.
Yeah. When I was sampling on the Monday of the heat wave, I got super nauseous because of the heat, but also the smell. It was really bad.
And how did this number of over a billion seashore animals who have died in the heat wave, how do you arrive at that number?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So we estimated that number last week. And since then, we've been doing more sampling. We think it's actually quite a bit more than a billion. But essentially what we did is mussels. Let's take mussels. So they, on the area the size of a stovetop, you can have thousands of mussels that grow there because they grow quite densely. That's why they're so important. They form quite dense, complex habitats. We call them ecosystem engineers that a whole bunch of other animals can live in. So a couple thousand in the area of a stovetop, and then you scale that up to the Salish Sea, has 700 kilometers of shoreline. So you can start to understand how many creatures could live here. And pretty much all of the mussels that live on rocky shorelines that were facing the sun died. Any mussels that were living in shaded areas or were facing kind of upshore, they tended to survive. But we saw, you know, significant mortality there. So it's just kind of a scaling up. And then you think of barnacles, which are, there's way more of them. And they also died. You can go and check them out. They're empty now. So we think it's quite a bit more than a billion now.
How extensive is this along the western, the shorelines? Like you're talking about Vancouver, but is it hitting on Vancouver Island? Is it hitting up the coast, the actual mainland coast? Would it? I mean, I was talking about Haida Gwaii and the Quihanas National Park there. I don't think the heat wave hit that far north because that's obviously farther north. But do we have any idea how extensive this is?
Yes, great question. So the Salish Sea is the inland body of water that includes the Strait of Georgia in Canada and the Puget Sound in Washington. And the Strait of Georgia is, we think, where the organisms, the animals, were most hard hit because of what I mentioned earlier. The heat wave coincided with really low daytime tides here. On the west coast of Vancouver Island, the tides happen at a different time of day. So the animals were actually underwater during, you know, noon to 3 p.m., which is when it was hottest.
Okay.
Same thing on the central and the north coast. The tides are different. So the Salish Sea was most hard hit, which is quite nerve-wracking because this area is already warming faster than the rest of the world due to climate change. The Salish Sea is warming at double the global average rate.
Oh, my God.
So it's kind of layering on to that, you know, the baseline temperature. The average temperature is increasing faster here, and we're more vulnerable to the extreme weather events, the extreme heat waves that happen during the summer because the low tides happen.
Has this ever happened before? Has this ever happened before, Fiona?
Yes. Yeah. So my lab studies how climate change is affecting intertidal animals. And several people in my lab study heat waves because of the significant effect they can have on how many organisms live here and the species interactions. And we study them because they are happening at increasing rates and because we're concerned about the future and we want to understand and try to predict what the beaches here are going to look like in 10, 20, 50 years. But it's almost getting to the point where you're like, what's it going to look like next year?
God. Fiona Beattie, PhD candidate at the University of British Columbia, the Department of Zoology. More than a billion seashore animals have been estimated to have died in the BC heat wave. This is one of those things, because we've had so much human loss and we see the forest fires above ground, what's happening below water, as usual, is forgotten. Not anymore. Fiona, thank you. I really appreciate it. And let's stay in touch on this.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Don't you just feel like a billion creatures were cooked to death? Like, doesn't that change your view of things? That's unbelievable. I mean, things are happening before our very eyes. I don't know what to do about it, except you can debate what's causing it, but it's pretty darn obvious.